You're listening to Graphic Novel Explorers Club Podcast, an audio book club.
Greetings, explorers. I'm one of your hosts, Johnny, joined by
Dennis
and
Jake.
Today we are discussing Money Shot Volume 1 by writer Tim Seeley and Sarah Beatty and artist Rebecca Isaacs. We hope you've read today's title because all three of us read the book, so beware, spoilers ahead. Explorers can share their opinions and thoughts with us by leaving a comment on our Facebook page or over on Twitter and Instagram at GN Explorers Club. Graphic Novel Explorers Club is available wherever fine podcasts are found, including the YouTubes. That's right. Today we're looking at Money Shot Volume 1, published by Vault Comics at the beginning of the pandemic last year, March of 2020. Written by Tim Seeley and Sarah Beatty. Art by Rebecca Isaacs. And had you guys heard of this book before?
I've never heard of the book before. I know Tim Seeley from Hack and Slash. I haven't actually read. That's another popular comic series. I actually haven't read it. I've been meaning to. I know it's popular. And I believe it was optioned to be a TV series. And so I've been meaning for us to cover it. And so that's how I know his name.
I think he also did. I think there was like a Deadpool versus Thanos.
Yes. Yeah, he's in the industry for sure. And I know Sarah Beatty from the Twitterverse. She's on there. She does a bunch of funny comments. I think her name is Nacho Sarah. But I haven't read any of his comics before, and this is, I think, her first comic.
Having written for a Deadpool comic, I kind of had an idea of what I was getting myself into.
Yeah, I wasn't aware that was going to be so graphic, but
oh yeah, no, it definitely sets the tone on the first page with the fishman scene. So yeah, it is very cavalier with the F word,
right? Yeah, yeah. So the story actually, because we read volume one, starts off with in 2027, an advanced alien civilization made contact. And the people of Earth discovered they were not alone. An offer to join the civilized universe was made, but then the aliens saw what a total shit show Earth was. Engaged in hundreds of wars, led by greedy politicians, fumbling towards advanced technology, humanity was deemed not worth the effort. The offer was withdrawn. Unable to build spaceships capable of efficient interstellar travel, and distracted by petty bickering and pop entertainment, humans eventually lost interest in the stars. Now, in 2032, amid an anti-science presidential administration, public apathy, scientists in an economically crippled America struggle to find innovative projects. This feels like they were looking into a crystal ball. I mean, I know they probably started writing this maybe like around the beginning of the Trump presidency, but like all the shit show that happened, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, yeah.
For sure. And to be perfectly honest, I mean, you guys probably remember, I remember at least, like being amazed by space travel. Like I look forward to like a space shuttle launching, you know, reports talking to astronauts. Nowadays, you don't really hear about it much. Maybe Elon Musk fires off a rocket and you hear about that, but you don't get the kind of wonder that we used to get back then. Now,
our childhood was kind of at the tail end of the space age.
Mm-hmm. I tried getting my kids into it, and you know, there's an app where you can actually tell when the International Space Station is going to be above your house, and you can actually see like a little bit of a light flash. And like, I flipped out; I didn't know that was a thing, and none of them wanted to see it. And I dragged them out, and they were like, "Yeah, whatever." I was like, "Did you see that? That thing's in space." And yeah, they could give a shit. So,
is it on YouTube? No, then I don't want to see it. Anyways, so our main characters are Dr. Christine Ocampo, physicist and team leader, Dr. Bree Wander, physicist, Dr. Annie Leong, epidemiologist, Dr. Omar Steinberg, astrophysicist, and Dr. Doug Koch, biochemist. And that's spelled K-O-C-H. No, I mean, that's his last name, not how you spell biochemist. I'd be way off. That's how you spell biochemist. That is not how you spell it.
Would you go with cock or would you go with coke?
It's cock. And the reason I know this is because I knew this guy when I used to live up in Spokane, Washington, and that was his last name. And he said it was cock. Plus, they make a joke in this later about how he wants to call himself Supermassive Black Hole. And then Dr. Ocampo's like, but your name's Doug Cock. That's already a porn name. So the team's working on this project called Starshot that is to get them into outer space, but they can't get any funding for it. And the media and other people dubbed it Money Shot. She comes up with the idea of, well, let's just crowdfund this through sex tapes in space. And that gets them their funding to go out of space. And this comic book strikes me as like, I wonder if it was influenced by the Kinsey Institute, you know, at the beginning of the Kinsey Institute, the initial doctors and Dr. Kinsey and his wife and the students and would all fuck each other. They were all part. That was like part of how they did their experiments. I was like, I wonder if this comic book was influenced by that.
Probably, I would imagine, because I can't imagine in real. I mean, this is a comic book, so I'm not going to say that. But part of me did have some problems with, like, what if someone wasn't on board? Would they feel peer pressure? You know, they don't necessarily one. They have to have sex with each other, and this is they're all like pansexual. On top of that, they would have to film themselves and be displayed for all the world to see. So that's a lot to ask of someone.
They work through those types of potential hangups like pretty quickly. Like everyone's just like, oh, I'm on board after, you know, a couple of pages and
right.
The table is basically set that they're up for anything at that point.
She approaches it. Dr. Ocampo approaches it from like, she's a good salesperson because she tells him like, look, if you get on board, you can do your research in this. If you get on board, we'll be in outer space and you can do this up there. So it's like they're like such scientists that they're like, okay, that's the means.
It's just a means to an end.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and for the listener, we are still recording these remotely. Probably tell that.
Oh. But I will also warn listeners that given the subject, this is kind of, we might have a graphic discussion. So be warned about
the content wise. Battle of this.
Right.
The final battle of this. Right.
So there's a lot of sex. There's a lot of genitalia. So
given the premise of this comic, did you think that it was and maybe gratuitous is not the right word for it, but it seemed to me that it could still be dialed back in a way a little much, but this is full tilt, you know, pedal to the metal. There's a lot of fornication going on, and it's
but this strikes me as like the sex in this is like something that you would have seen as a kid in a National Lampoon's magazine. It's like cartoony adolescent minded sex. It's not like adult sex.
Yeah. The art definitely, and I think I've said this before, like, I feel like the art didn't kind of quite match the tone of what they were going for. There were some issues, like some things that they were kind of really delving into, like, you know, sex versus intimacy and, you know, those kind of bigger issues, but it's the cartoony aspect of it still kind of, I don't know, I guess took something a little bit away from it.
Yeah, and I will say also, I never read it, but speaking to what you were saying, Johnny, it reminded me of Barbarella. Now, Barbarella actually, for those who don't know, was based on the movie from the, 60s or 70s, was actually based on a French comic. And it had like bits of Barbarella, bits of heavy metal, kind of all kind of intertwined in there, you know, a lot of sex positivity. I would agree that it reminded me more of like Playboy comics or National Lampoon's in the sense that it's above what a normal comic would show, but it's not like a porno. Like, you or know, it doesn't like take like pages of sex.
Or it'd be like the cartoons in a Playboy magazine. Like those.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
Like, 100%. Yeah, like
the ridiculously over the top.
Right.
Sexuality.
Side note, I think they either got their first issue republished or they have an original story published in Playboy magazine.
This comic book?
Yeah. They got a contract. So yeah.
Yeah, full circle.
And also I feel like this is like a companion piece to Sex Criminals, which we covered in episode 55, you know, where it was, I feel like this is a stronger story. I'm still not I don't know if I would ever continue the story past this first volume. I don't think it's really for me, but if you like Sex Criminals, I think you would like this comic book.
Yeah, I would definitely. I was thinking a lot about Sex Criminals and Ripple, and to your point, Jake, I was wondering, would the story have been better served if they dialed back the sex a little bit? But when I read it as a whole, I kind of accepted what it was, what it was trying to be, a sex romp kind of thing. And so I was fine with the amount of sex that they had. That wasn't the problem. But, to be perfectly honest, when I read a book that has sex in it, I don't know. I'm not sex comedies for books doesn't really work for me. Most of the time, I like something more intellectual, like Ripple, I would say, Johnny, the one that we read was a lot more gratuitous. But I felt it delved a lot more into the psyche of the person and was just a little more interesting to me. It was lewd, but I don't know. It was a much deeper story than what this is trying to be, for obvious reasons. This one is just trying to be a sex comedy, and that's fine. What it's trying to be is just, for me, that's that the Ripple story spoke more to me than this one.
If Money Shot had been a movie, it would have. I feel like it would have been a Blake Edwards movie who did Skin Deep with John Ritter, where there was that glowing condom scene. Where, it's like that kind of slapsticky comedy, sex comedy. But Ripple was, I really liked Ripple. I still own it. I've got the hard copy in there. I've got the hard copy in my little bookshelf over there.
Because you have books.
Because I have books. Listener, that's a callback. To a joke. It's something Dennis and I were talking about before we started recording, because I have books. We got books. I got books too, son. What was that? Was that from, I got guns. You got, I got guns too, son. Is that from Wu-Tang Clan?
Something like that.
So I wonder if this series is going to be more like, because I wasn't expecting them to be off on another alien planet right away. And so
they definitely jump right into it. And actually the world that they went to, Dry Reef, I thought that was kind of a cool concept of this world that's kind of in decline, but you find out later on that it's got this underwater ocean or under the ground ocean, and all of the life forms are kind of aquatic based creatures. I thought that was kind of just a cool concept was interesting.
Yeah, I really liked, there's a lot of gladiator scenes, which is kind of a throwback to old sci-fi or Star Trek. Sure. I wonder if they're going to, is this going to be like Star Trek meets Kinsey Institute meets Sex Criminals, where they're just out exploring and constantly fucking? And
absolutely. This is a crew full of Captain Kirks. I mean, that's
what it is. Lieutenant Commander or Commander Rikers and Captain Kirk's just out
space. Just laying cable everywhere they go.
Plus horny Spocks who are in heat. That's what he got going
on. Constantly in Ponfar.
Yeah, exactly.
Or what was the lightning storm? Throwback to Wonder Twins.
Yeah. That's right. I forgot about the sex lighting store. And that's another funny thing. I saw it coming, but I thought it was pretty funny. Our crew winds up going to this planet that needs to be saved, and then the big bad guy kind of tricks them into, having sex with them to save the planet, which was really just part of their plan to rule the planet. And then how they get back at that person is by fucking on camera and making the entire planet just devolve into a big orgy.
Right. Everyone's horny.
Yeah. That's how I describe this comic. It's horny. The whole thing. It's just, this book is horny.
That's true. Yeah, this is one horny book.
I will say that, given it was out in March, I will say that it almost seems like, speaking of your crystal ball, Johnny, they almost were able to predict in some ways a combo of Kickstarter meets OnlyFans. Because, you know, in many ways, this is, you know, instead of going to, you know, to set up the world, everyone's bored on Earth with sex. Every type of sexual act is available through every kind of means. And people are just bored with what's on the internet.
Like, one of the jokes was that you could find people who fuck hot sauce.
Right. And so they found that they could have a niche market because we're going to screw aliens that you've never seen. And so it was very interesting for them to raise money. Although I will say, knowing people who run an OnlyFans, it's interesting because I would think that in order for them to generate that much content on a regular basis and have people keep paying, that they would not have enough time in the day to actually do the science stuff because they got to travel to the planet, they got to do their science stuff, and then
one of the things in this book is like the science has been put on the back burner. They just seem to like fucking.
Well, and I mean, honestly, that's true of any content creator, whether it's podcasting, YouTubing, you know, all that kind of stuff. You realize that this is a fun, quote unquote, job, but it is a job. You're always trying to generate content. You're always trying to go on social media to make contacts. And so for them to actually realistically think that they could somehow also do amazing stuff and cure cancer and research whatever viruses, I think it was pretty funny that, yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, that's why, you know, Kirk was always willing to beam down to a planet and let everybody else on the ship do everything so he could beam down and, you know, fuck a green person.
Right.
Yeah. And Riker was like, when they found that hedonism planet, Riker was like,
all right. This is what I signed up for.
This is why I got into interstellar exploration.
It was in the brochure.
I read Kirk's captain logs and I was like, I am in. I am in all the way.
That's how they recruit all the Starfleet people.
No, just the horn dogs. Maybe that's the Enterprise. Maybe that's what the Enterprise is for. It's like people with sexual addictions.
Although I must have missed the part because, you know, this is a very sex positive book, but I must have missed the part where do they have like a rocket launcher that shoots condoms out? Because, you know, every time when they started that orgy on the planet at the end, these condoms rain from the sky. And I was like,
yeah, I missed that too. I thought maybe it was like that's precipitation on that planet. I couldn't tell.
I know. I think it had something to do, like they had those cod pieces that they launched out. And I think I just thought that was part of it, but
maybe they initiated like some bombing run.
Yeah.
But instead of paraphernalia,
I thought those cod pieces just had little cameras in them and like an automatic condom.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as you got to erect, the condom was right there.
It's a two-part system.
I mean, for them, that's fine. But there was condoms raining on the aliens for them to use. And so, like, the whole population, which, you know, I would also say that's very presumptive that they would actually have genitalia.
Matching genitalia.
What if it was a blob person or, like, that lava creature that Spock touched?
The thing that could burrow through rock?
Yeah, exactly.
One thing in this book that I thought was like really deep, like it was much deeper than should have been in this book, is when Dr. Omar Steinberg and Dr. Doug Koch are having a conversation, and Doug, he sort of humiliates or, you know, kind of makes fun of Omar, and he's really sensitive about it. It's like right after they had sex, and he said, you know, my dad, he would humiliate me and do it on camera. And I was like, I bet you there's so many kids out there that are going to be having the same exact conversation in therapy 10 or 20 years from now. Cause they're like, yeah, I just wanted to be a kid and my fucking mom and dad wanted to be Instagram stars. So they were constantly filming me doing shit, often when I was like crying or, you know, I was feeling humiliated or I didn't want to be on camera and I'd be screaming, don't do this. And they would still put me on camera. So I thought that was like really, much deeper than this comic should have been in this comic book.
Well, but I think that there are a couple of times where you saw some, like, I don't know, some cool character development, like when Koch and I forget the other scientist's name, the one that's a little bit chubbier.
Oh, Annie Leong.
Yeah, and there's
they did that. Like, not everybody was like comic book hot.
Like, yeah, she was just like there were a lot of elements that were, you know, as Zenas was saying, very, you know, sex positive. And there was a moment between with them where she was kind of not belittling him, but just saying, like, you know, it wasn't great. But then he kind of, you could see him put in the effort to, you know, to do things that, you know, was a turn on to her. Mm-hmm. And then later on, you see that same character, you know, kind of have that kind of sensitive moment with Omar. But then at the end of it, he tags it with a joke, kind of, you know, making fun of him, kind of like, you know, mm-hmm. busting his balls. And like, I was like, all right, that's kind of a, you know, you see some kind of dynamics in a character and, you know, kind of a very absurd premise comic book, you know.
So yeah, speaking of what you were talking about, Johnny, I can't imagine what it would be like to be that kind of kid, because not only did your parents do that and you found that humiliating at that day, but can you imagine having that to live on the internet forever, or someone maybe recognizing you? Oh, you're that kid, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that for that memory to kind of be permanent on the internet is kind of traumatizing.
A moment of humiliation,
right?
Permanently. It's not like you're an adult and you made a dumb decision or you did something. You're like, I fucked up. It's like you're a kid at the mercy of your parents putting something out there. One of the things I really appreciate about this comic book artist and writer, Lucy Nisley, who we read her 9 months and then I lost the episode or something like that. But she does a lot of her comics and like daily illustrations involve like her family, her husband, her son, who's a toddler. Well, now he's probably like 3 or 4 or 5-ish. And she doesn't put her son's real name on there. She calls him Pal. And anything she illustrates about him, she's like, I keep it. I'll illustrate about him as an artist and I like to share my art. But if it's something that feels like personal or he tells me not to do it, then I won't. Because she's like, I want him to be separate from, I want him to grow up feeling like his childhood wasn't for sale.
Right.
It's like, what was the videos that the dad did in Arrested Development? Where it was like kid fights or something like that. And like they recognized him and you know, like he wanted the milk or something like that.
Overall, what did you guys think of the book?
I really liked it for what it was. Like I said, I don't think I could read constantly comics like this, but you know, for a short series, I thought it was funny. I thought the premise was actually pretty smart. I mean, how else are you going to raise money? Like I said, in this day and age of OnlyFans, sometimes you have to have some kind of hustle to get funds when a normal stream of, well, I wouldn't say normal, but an alternate stream of funds isn't available because, you know, sex work isn't bad work. It's just not something that everyone chooses. And I mean, like we talked about, Jake, you know, some people made that decision pretty quickly. I don't think in real life it was a more serious book. I think some people would maybe drop off, you know, have some hesitation. Yeah. Everyone was on board, which was somewhat unusual. But given the nature of the book, it was fine. It's a fun read.
And another thing is like no one has any sort of like conflict of feelings like, well, I'm starting.
Oh,
I mean,
for sure.
Dr. Ocampa and Dr. Steinberg have had a previous relationship, like romantic relationship, but everybody's sort of like in their own silo of, well, we're just fucking, you know, there's no sort of romantic entanglements, at least in this volume. Who knows? It could be further down the road. There's some entanglements,
there's a great point, Johnny, you know, and what we talked about, everyone was on board. They're a little too on board if it was a real life situation, because there's a lot of things that are changing for them, right? You know, suddenly everyone is pansexual if they weren't before. Everyone is polygamous if they weren't before. And so they were all just like, okay with that. And having, you know, relationships get involved. I know at one point, one of the doctors checks the other doctor and says, hey, I told you she's not my girlfriend. But yeah, I mean, if feelings get involved, if you're not on board that kind of, you know, relationship, or you want to be exclusive, it's going to get very complicated and very messy. Yeah. One of the doctors, the main one, Christine, she already has feelings for Omar. And one of the things that she talked about was when she saw a video, she was crying because she
said, I love you.
I love you. And that's totally different from just the sex act itself. So,
It's like the pretty woman. No kissing.
Right. Right.
I say who, I say when, I say who.
I will say I recommend it, but you know, it's not something I would necessarily go out and seeking. I thought it was a fun read.
I thought it was interesting. I like when they take kind of two absurd premise that separate, you go, okay, yeah, I can see, you know, a disinterested science community and then trying to crowdfund through pornography. Like those separate, you go, okay, I'm on board with those together. And then, you know, taking two things that independently kind of like ideas that independently work and then trying to make them work together.
You got your chocolate on my peanut butter. No, you got peanut butter on my chocolate.
Exactly. Yeah. Or, you know, like whiskey is good and ranch is good. And then, but, you know, whiskey, ranch, you go, okay. But somehow this kind of, it works in a way that it's funny to kind of analyze this on a deeper level, because I could see points, you know, like you can make so many kind of deeper dives into, you know, the whole area of sexuality and intimacy and all of those. Mm-hmm. But I feel like with this book, you're kind of, it's like trying to take a deeper dive into like a Porky's movie, you know, like, and not to say like it's bad, you know, it is what it is. It's a fun romp, you know, you know, a couple of my favorite jokes where is the camera that kind of follows them around, you know, they're saying fuck a lot, and it automatically, like, it's like, that's Alexa saying, like, you know, it's automatically got a cue to record when it hears the word fuck. Yeah, right. You know, so that was kind of a good running joke. And then,
and I like too, when the camera's like, it starts to record, it's like, oh, the camera realizes they're not fucking, and then we'll stop.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that joke was, I liked throughout, you know, it was a fun ongoing joke, but then there are other ones that felt a little bit, not, I mean, like gratuitous, like, you know, the guru guy is using, using his ball sack like a mace. Right. You know, it's like, it's funny, but it's not necessarily like the most clever joke, you know.
Yeah. Like a pedestal that he meditates on.
Yeah. Or, you know, yeah. I mean, like those types of those jokes that not particularly clever, but still kind of, you know, funny. Yeah. I mean, I would recommend it. It's probably not one that I would, you know, continue on with for a long, but it definitely has the potential to,
yeah, I will say also, I forgot to add, in speaking of some of the stuff that Jake mentioned, the art was fantastic. I thought it was very clean. I liked it. I liked the characters. They were all distinct. I liked the designs of the aliens. So yeah, props to the artist as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, for as many characters that are in this book, especially alien characters, we've read books in the past, Dennis and I, in the podcast, where we're like Queen of Kenosha, not to rip on that book any further, but there was times in that story where we're like, who is this, the main character, who is this? And in this one, everyone was clearly defined. I felt all the characters had their own personality, even like the main bad guy, she was more than like a two-dimensional character. I just don't know if I would continue the story. It didn't really grip me to continue it. It's very 15-year-old me would have fucking loved this, but 45-year-old me, put 30 years on it, you're like, man, I don't know.
Yeah, 15-year-old me would have loved it, but then have the book taken away.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's probably
you're trying to explain it to your parents. You're like, no, it's called Money Shot. It's about investment banking.
Right. Yeah. 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 I would say pick it up, see what you think. But I don't know if I would continue. I would recommend reading it just to see. There are elements I like, but I don't know if I'll continue on with the series.
Yeah, and just like Jake said, you know, it is like a Porky's, but with a little bit of heart. You know, there's always that part in between these sex comedies where you kind of get to know the character a little bit more. You realize they're more than just a boning machine or whatever. I really feel that, where you've got a little bit of a hint of the deeper side of the characters, and I appreciate that. But yeah, definitely for me, it's just like only so much I can take of, you know, dick jokes, and we yeah. have to screw oh. every time.
And this dick jokes aplenty. Like there's yeah. the double and quadruple octuple entendre is
the final battle between the main bad guy and this planet's the species savior is right. just a dick fight with jizz everywhere. So
which then, honestly, man. I don't want to get too deep, but then if you have dick fights like that, like literal fights, I mean, then is that sexual assault? I mean, it kind of like, oh, that's not so funny. But yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's agreed upon. This is how you fight. It's like rams smashing heads and, you know, their yeah. heads into each other. It's not like right. one's going to be like, well, now I'm going to put my butt out. Well, like, no, this is weird. The rules that we yeah. smash heads.
So, rules of engagement.
Right. Yeah. The rules so it was established. Engagement. Yeah. Yeah.
Dick rules of engagement. Rules of dick engagement? Is it dick rules of engagement or rules of dick engagement?
Degagement.
Degagement. Where can people follow the podcast if they want to do that? Dennis?
You can find us on Twitter and the Insta at GN Explorers Club.
Cool. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
Bye-bye.